Our first Bible reading this morning is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And our second Bible reading is from Habakkuk chapter 2, from verses 2 to 20. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, 'Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on?' Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their prey. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you, for you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and let your nakedness be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you've done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed human blood, you have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, 'Come to life,' or to lifeless stone, 'Wake up.' Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There's no breath in it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Well, let me lead us in prayer as we begin to have a look at those few verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you give us. Thank you especially for these last couple of days. Father, we thank you for this morning. And ask, Father, that you would help us as we consider your words from Habakkuk. And that over this next little while, you'd be working in us via your Spirit. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you have to let me know over the back there if I fade away. You can't quite hear me. But can you hear me all right, Rachel? Yep. So if you remember, so far in Habakkuk, he's cried out to the Lord, hasn't he? Right at the beginning, chapter 1, he's cried out to the Lord, all the injustice and the wickedness that he sees all around him in Judah. And the Lord replied, the first reply, "Justice will be done," he says. "The Babylonians are coming," this fearsome people, this massive empire at the time, the Babylonians. And so then Habakkuk, he cried out again, can't understand, why would the Lord send Babylon as an answer to his prayer? And now we hear what God himself says in reply to that, to this second cry of Habakkuk. God's own words these are to Habakkuk. And if you notice right at the beginning there, he makes sure that Habakkuk knows that these words are really important, because in verse 2, if you look at verse 2 with me, he says, "Write this down. Write it down and make it plain on tablets." And he says, "Make it plain on tablets so a herald can run with it." And a herald, as I'm sure you're aware, they're someone who takes an important message right throughout a kingdom, aren't they? They run with important messages throughout a kingdom or an empire. So God, he wants these words recorded, and he wants everyone
to know about them, including us, because they tell us that eventually Babylon's going to fall. God's judgment on Babylon for their evil acts. And we know, don't we, this side of history, that that's exactly what happened. God said Babylon would fall, and they did. So these words, they're true words. True words that God speaks. And God draws us this picture in verse 4 where he says, "See, the enemy is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." There in verse 4. It's like a picture really of two ways to live, isn't it, in verse 4? One's faithfulness to God, and the other isn't. One's faithfulness to God, the other is not. And that second description, it's a picture of the Babylonians. They place their faith in idols, right at the beginning of what Leslie read there for us. Idols made of wood and stone. There in verses 18 and 19, where he writes, "Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that can't speak. Woe to him who says to wood, 'Come to life,' or to lifeless stone, 'Wake up.' Can it give guidance? It's covered with gold and silver. There's no breath in it." So faith in these idols, really, it's faith in their own hand, isn't it? It's faith in their work. And it doesn't work. If you're reading through Habakkuk, and particularly this part of Habakkuk, you see this cycle of destruction, don't you? You know, of dominion and of invasion. But then of invaded peoples rising up. This cycle of destruction over and over. And it's this picture that God draws here. It's because self is at the center. Self is at the center of this. And if self is what you're faithful to, if your own benefit is what's most important, then even through unjust gain and injustice, you'll pursue it. And that's the picture here that God describes of the Babylonians. Conquering people, taking territory, building towns, building cities by bloodshed, which is what it says there in verse 12. But ultimately, it doesn't work, because no kingdom can oppress another people forever. They'll rise up, is what it says there in verse 7. If you look at that with me, verse 7. "Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you'll become their prey," it says. And we've seen that, haven't we? If you read history, we've seen that. French Revolution, Russian Revolution. There's heaps and heaps of examples. And in any case, God doesn't let faithfulness go on forever, does he? And that's the other part of this message here to Habakkuk. Because in verse 16, God says, "The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you." See, this is judgment on Babylon for putting their faith in themselves, in their own abilities, putting their faith in the wrong place, and for all of the wickedness that comes from that. And ultimately, that's delivered, actually, through Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, 539 BC. Overtakes the Babylonians. Justice delivered. God's justice. And verse 14 there, where it talks about the knowledge of the glory of God filling the earth. See, this is God's message to Habakkuk. Much better to live by his faithfulness to God, to trust God, even when an invasion is coming your way, which is what Habakkuk's facing. He's facing this Babylonian invasion. Much better to live by faithfulness to God, even in the face of something as terrible as that. Trust God, even with an invasion coming your way. After all, the other way to live doesn't work, does it? Much better to live for God, who's sovereignly in control over all world events, and whose other true words tell actually of an even greater glory that filled the earth. The glory of his Son, Jesus Christ, which of course we know, who makes us fully and finally right with him, righteous, through the work that he did on the cross. And we heard that in Leslie's first Bible reading, Romans 1, verse 16, where Paul wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." See, to everyone who believes in what Jesus did on the cross, his death and his resurrection, God promises they're made right with him. That's what it means to be righteous, is to be right with God. And that's the power of God for salvation. That's the one thing that it is worth faith that is worth faith and is worth living by, Jesus, and the righteousness that he gives. And so while we wait for God to fully and finally deal with the injustice and the unjust gain that we see around us in the world, well, we do live with the effects of that, don't we? We live with the effects of not living in faithfulness to God. There are wars that get started and end. There is corporate greed for unjust gain. There's injustices in labour. There's plenty of examples. And actually, it's quite hard for us to avoid, particularly in a globalised economy. I don't know if you've heard of it. There's a report. It's called the Baptist World Aid Ethical Fashion Guide. Has anyone read that? It doesn't really sound like bedtime reading, does it? But it's worth reading. It lists 420 brands of clothing. It's represented by about 98 companies. And they rate them so you can see which ones are produced ethically overseas. And only 4% of those can say they pay a wage that someone can actually live on in the final finishing stages of their products, finishing stages of their production. 4%. 4% say they can pay those that work in the final stages of production ethically. So there's injustice, actually, in these factories. These products produced by people in workhouses, often overseas, at unreasonable rates to keep costs down. And actually, if you think about that, it's really a modern form of slavery, really. It's just injustice that's been outsourced. There's heaps of examples. But we know, don't we, in God's timing, it will all be brought right. And we wait, knowing that through faith we're made right with God. Not looking to benefit from unjust gain or injustice, and not seeking to be part of it. And for us, we might not be facing a Babylonian invasion or an invasion of any particular kind, but there are other hard and difficult things, I'm sure, that we have or will be facing. But we know that in God's timing it will be brought right. And so we wait and we live by faithfulness, knowing what we are, which is right with God. We are righteous, made right with God through Christ, and that he will have us with him on that last day. And on that day, injustice and unjust gain will be fully and finally brought to an end. And that is the assurance that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend some time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for showing us what it means to live by faithfulness, by providing your Son to make that possible for us. Father, we ask that you'd help us to live by faithfulness, to be those who hate injustice and unjust gain, to be those who are thankful and sure in the promise that you've given us through Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.